Mefarshim and the Chumash discussed the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Bnei Yisrael to borrow Yishalu Isha Me'esrehu V'Isha Me'esru Usok Lechese V'Chlei Zahav? Why should he tell them to borrow valuable kelim from the Mitzrim and then not give them back? Isn't that very strange? So they give different explanations. The Rashbam in his commentary on Chumash understands that the word V'Yishalu doesn't mean to borrow, but it rather means to ask for a gift. And when the Pasuk says V'Yashilum, it's not to be translated as and they lent them the kelim, but rather that they granted their request. They asked for a matana and their request was granted. I remember years ago when Rav Soloveitchik was speaking on this parsha, he said over that Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch in his commentary on the Chumash claims that there's a difference in biblical Hebrew between Lishol Me'im and Lishol Me'es. Ki Yishalish Me'im Re'ehu Kesev O'Kelim, the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, that means to borrow. And here it says Yishalish Me'es Re'ehu, not Me'im Re'ehu, so this does not have the same meaning. This doesn't mean at all to borrow. It means, like the Rashbam said, to ask, meaning to ask for a matana. Vayashilum is to be understood like the Rashbam translates, and they granted their request. What was this? This was Takat Sivui. This was the Hayra Shah. We don't have this commandment for Doris. There are many differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doris. This is one of them. We no longer have this mitzvah to ask all the next door neighbors to, for presents every Erev Yom Tov. Was it even a Hayra Shah as a commandment? Or was it just a suggestion? So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment regarding Moshe Rabbeinu that when all of the other Jews were busy knocking on the next door neighbors and getting wealthy, taking klei ches v'klei zo, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the pasuk reads in Koheles, ohev kesef lo'izba kesef, people who like, people who enjoy money will never be satisfied with how much money they have. As much money as they have, they always want more. Mishei shlo money, goes to Masai, who has the man who has $100 always wants $200. People always want more. So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment on that pasuk. The same is true in the area of ruchnius. Oyev mitzvos leizba mitzvos. A person who loves doing mitzvos will never be satisfied with as many mitzvos as he has. So the Medrash Rabbah comments that that perhaps is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu, that when everybody else was busy taking visas Mitzrayim, the kalechesu v'chleizoha from the Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was busying himself with taking care of Aron Shal Yosef. So all the Mefarshim and the Medrash Rabbah find it difficult to understand Maishna this mitzvah and that mitzvah. If the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to knock on the next door neighbor's doors as a Hayru Ashur and to ask for matanas or to borrow, however you'll translate the words of the Pasuk, so what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was a man who loved mitzvah, so he was never satisfied with the mitzvahs that he had. That's why he ran to take care of Aron Shal Yosef. What about Moshe Rabbeinu knocking on his next door neighbor's door and asking for matanas? That's also a mitzvah. That's what the Mefarshim talk about. So they say there's a bigger mitzvah, whatever, there's a mace mitzvah. Nobody was taking care of Yosef. The next door neighbors, they're going to clean out Mitzrayim. Somehow or another, the Jews are going to take all the klichet and the chleizov, and that's going to be natzlus, and they're going to empty out the country. But the Rosh Hashanah Yosef was like a mace mitzvah that no one is taking care of. The Sefer Hasidim refers to mesichtes. He says amelitza, that there are certain mesichtes that people never learn, so he calls those a meis mitzvah. So he says just like it's a special mitzvah to be metapel and a meis mitzvah, so too it's a special mitzvah to study those mesichtes that are neglected, or those parts of Shulchan Aruch that are neglected. So this mitzvah of taking care of Yosef HaTzadik was a meis mitzvah. But other mefarshim point out not that this mitzvah is a bigger mitzvah. The expression used in the pasuk is daber no be'oznei ha'am. And the Gemara has a comment in Brachas, Ein no elo l'shem bakosha, commenting on this pasuk. It happens to be the Gemara has a comment on other psukim as well. But the Gemara has a comment on this pasuk as well, Daber no, Ein no elo l'shem bakosha, please ask the Jewish people to do me a favor that I have promised Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Absorim, Racha Rechen Yetzu Beruchush Godo. I promised Avraham Avinu that his descendants, when the Shibud Mitzrayim will be over, will leave with great wealth. So please ask the Jewish people to do me a favor, so I'll be able to tell Avraham Avinu that I kept my promise. So some of Orshim claim that this was not a mitzvah, it wasn't even a Hayru Ashur. Not only is it certainly not a din with Doris, it doesn't apply today, then in every Erev Pesach you have an obligation to knock on an extra neighbor's door to ask for matanis. Even then it wasn't really an obligation. It was just a recommendation, a suggestion. Please ask them to do me a favor, so to speak, the Rav Shlomo. by taking care of Yosef, that was taka mitzvah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was an oyev mitzvah, so he's by mitzvah, so he wasn't satisfied with all the mitzvahs that he had. So he led the Bnei Yisrael to do the Dvar Hashus of cleaning out Mitzrayim, and he ran to do the Dvar Mitzvah. Rashi quotes from the Gemara a discussion why Moshe Rabbeinu delivers the Nevuah to Paro. Instead of saying Bachatzos HaLaila, he says Kachatzos HaLaila. Why did he change it? If it was exactly at the Chatzos HaLaila that Makas Chorus occurred, not earlier, not later, so why does it say Kachatzos, which sounds like it means approximately at Chatzos HaLaila? So the Gemara has a comment, and different Mefarshim, Rashi has a comment, Al Pi Pshuto. Some of the Mefarshim have an interesting, they all have interesting comments. Some of the Mefarshim have the following comment, that Chatzos is not the same time throughout the land. Chatzos HaLaila means the midpoint between the Shkia, the beginning of the night, and the Zricha, the beginning of the next morning. So the Shkia and the Zricha keeps on changing as you keep on moving west. Mitzrayim was not just one little city. It has a certain width to it. A couple hundred miles, no? Maybe 1,000 miles, I don't know. You have to look on a map. How wide is Mitzrayim? So Chatzos keeps on changing. As you go to the west, Chatzos is a second later. So that he didn't say Bachatzos HaLaila, that would sound like at one split second all the Bchorim would die all over Mitzrayim. He says Kachatzos, meaning as the earth is spinning and as you keep on going further to the west, Chatzos keeps on occurring a second later. So the time was different, Kiseda. The Pashup Shat is that only the Bchorim were killed. But then the Pashup says, Ein Bais Asher Ein Shom Meis. So that's the problem that the Mefarshim and the Medrash talk about, the different Mefarshim talk about. How can it be? In Bais HaShem Ein Shom Meis, every single house had a dead body in it. So the Midrashim say, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed, it says, Ein Bais HaShem Ein Shom Meis. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, whenever there was no Bechor, so then the Godel Sheba Bais would die. The Rashi has another Pshat, Rashi has two Pshat. They quote the name of Rabitzel Valojina, the son of Rav Chaim Valojina, that he suggested maybe Al Pi Pshuto Shel Mikro you can interpret the pasuk differently. That people always like to exaggerate. You say everybody in the dormitory is sick. Everybody in the dormitory is sick. A lot of people are sick. It doesn't mean every single person in the dormitory is sick. Nobody passed the exam. There was a high percentage of people that didn't pass the exam. So here the pasuk reads. The people were screaming, that's what the people were saying. It wasn't true. The people always like it. People always exaggerate. It's not Lashon HaTorah. This is the quotation from what the people were saying, that there isn't one house that someone didn't die. It wasn't true. There were many homes where nobody died because only the Purim died. That's the Rabbi Tzal of Alojana suggests, maybe Al Pi Pshuta Shemit. But again, Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the Tanoim, the Amoraim had a tradition that it's not so. They thought that it wasn't so. Rashi in his opening comment on Bereshis quotes from the Medrash that Rabbi Yitzchok said the Torah should really begin from the middle of Parshas Bo, chapter Yud Beis, HaChodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodoshim. And Rashi asks, the Medrash asks, why does the Torah bother writing the whole of Bereshit in the beginning of Shemos if it doesn't hardly has anything that's Nageh Halacha L'maisa? Isn't it supposed to be a collection of dinim? The Rashi gives, Rashi quotes the Medrash, gives some kind of an answer. So this is the this is chapter Yud Beis in the middle of Parshas Bo, where the Torah should have begun. This was the Havamin, of the Medrash. What does mean Achodesh is Elohim? The Gemara understands that this is the mitzvah of Kiddush Achodesh. To whom was the mitzvah entrusted? So of course the Gemara says it was told by Yomar Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon. Moshe and Aharon together were told this. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem to the two of you. Why? Because you have to constitute a Bezen. Kiddush HaChodesh must be done by Bezen. It doesn't happen by itself. Rosh Chodesh doesn't happen automatically. You have to have a bezin, and since we have a klal, a rule that ain't bezin shofli, you can never have an even number of bezin. So it's understood, masifim alayim ma'irechot. Even though the Baruch Shalom only speaks to Moshe and Aaron, he says, Achedish is alachem, it's up to the two of you to declare Rosh Chodesh. It means the two should take a third person and make together a bezin. So it's a bezin of three. A bezin of three is enough. So you don't need the bezin of gadol. Mishnah says the bezin of three. The Rambam has a unique opinion, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Yad HaZocher, that the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibra HaShanah can only be done by a bezin of three that was appointed, that was authorized to do it by the bezin HaGadol. The three members of the bezin themselves do not have to be members of the, they could either be or not be necessarily be members of the bezin HaGadol, but they have to be authorized by the bezin HaGadol, or at least by the Nasi, the chief rabbi who's in charge of the bezin HaGadol, to take care of the Kiddush HaChodesh or the Ibra HaShanah. How does the Rambam know that? So he has the Mechilta, the Rav Shimon bar Yochai. This is one of the several dinim. We mentioned Rabbi Mendel Kasher many years ago. He lived in America. He passed away already a while ago. 3 years ago. But many years ago, 40 years ago, he put out a sefer, maybe 50 years ago. HaRambam HaMechilta, the Rashbi. There are a lot of strange things in the Rambam that don't correspond to what it says in the Gemara. So the Nisi Kalim and the Rambam don't know exactly what the source is. Every so often the source is scattered around the Rambam. There are dinim that are based on the Sifrei Zuta that the earlier Nisi Kalim didn't have available. And then when the Sefer was printed, so they came to the realization, oh, so the Rambam has direct quotations from there. And this also, there's a Sefer Mechilta, the Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It's not the standard Mechilta that we have. That the Rambam himself says in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos tells you where he's quoting. The Aruch HaZocher doesn't give you any sources. The Rambam, one of the letters, writes himself that he has charata why he didn't write the sources for the dinim in the Aruch HaZocher, that he himself had forgotten some of them. That someone had asked him, what is the source of the din that he wrote in Hilchas Ratzeach HaShmiras Nefesh about one who killed B'Shoigeg has to go to Ori Miklot only if he killed in such a way, such a place, where the person died immediately. But if the person it took him a few hours till he died, then the Rambam writes it in that he doesn't go to Ori Miklot. Someone sent a letter to the Rambam. Where does it say that? So the Rambam writes back in his letter, well, he figured it's going to be in the Gemara Makkos in Perek Elohein HaGoylim. So he looked through Perek Elohein HaGoylim, it wasn't there. And he figured, all right, second best is going to be in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara has all the discussions of Hilchas Ritzeh. He looked over there and couldn't find it. Then, after thinking and thinking, he realized it's a Gemara in the end of Gittin. It is. It's a Gemara in the end of Gittin. Shalopim Kamo. So he writes himself in the letter to this fellow. He writes him where the Gemara is in Perek Mishoch, so I think. And then he writes that he feels sorry himself that he didn't write down the Marmon Kamas. He thought it's going to be so obvious. Everybody's going to know. Now, he himself forgot. He's the author of the book. He himself forgot what the sources were. It took him a while till he reconstructed that this was based on the Gemara Gittin. Here also, this is one of the things that the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam gives you the Marmon Kamas, the Aruch HaZocher doesn't give. Sefer HaMitzvos, he himself quotes it. This is a statement that appears in the Mechilta of the Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah can only be done under the supervision, under the auspices of the Bezin HaGadol. Again, the members of the Bezin themselves don't have to be members of the Bezin HaGadol, but they have to be authorized to act by the Bezin HaGadol. The Ramban, in his Hasogah on the Sefer HaMitzvah, disagrees with the Rambam and he says, how can that be? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says explicitly that until the days of Abai Verovir, who lived in Babel, and they corresponded to the times of Hillel HaSheni in Eretz Yisrael, they were still Mekadosh al-Pi Hariyah, and the Luach was established by Hillel HaSheni. So how could there be a Bezin HaGadol? That was years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara has a rule that Melamed Shamachin Gorim, that the Bezin HaGadol only has the status of Bezin HaGadol when they're in their office in the Lishkas HaGozes.
Question about the
Matzah
Al-Pi Mishnah.
That's a major question. Right, if you have a contradiction between the Gemara and the Yerushalmi, so the Rif has a Kalal at the end of Erevin that we follow the Babli. And the Rama many times does not. The Rama many times follows the Yerushalmi against the Babli. So that's a problem. The Rambam himself follows the klal of the Rif, that whenever there's a theory, he's supposed to follow the Babli against the Yerushalmi, because we assume the Babli followed the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi was written a few generations earlier than the Babli. We assume that Hilchas HaKibasroi, that the Chachmei HaBabli, that's a historical question, were they aware of what it said in Talmud Yerushalmi? So Rashi points out in various places in the Gemara, yes, the Gemara a lot of times alludes to stories or to dinim, and the Gemara never spelled out in Bavli, and in Yerushalmi it's spelled out. So Rashi says that's a clear indication that the Chachmei HaBavli had the Yerushalmi. without such a clear indication. Could be that that story they knew. Could be that that story they knew. It doesn't mean that they knew everything that it says in Tamashah. So that's a historical question. Is that so that there's a book that's entitled like that, Hey, Ra'u Chachmei HaBavli Yis HaYerushalmi. Rabbi in America wrote such book, but Swarm were written like this about in Europe also, whether historically, whether it's correct. So that's and the Rambam himself violates that kalal. The Rambam many times will pass like Yerushalmi against Rav. Then a lot of times the Rambam will pass in like Tosefta's against Gemara's, not only when there's no Gemara one with the other, against Gemara's, Sifrei's against Gemara. It's a big problem. What are the kalal we have done? I don't know. That's a big problem. So this is a machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban says, yes, what it says in the Mechilta that you should do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana Alpi Bez Nagadol means, if there is a Bez Nagadol around, then it's, since the matter of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana is going to affect all of Klal Yisrael. So it's not proper, that's not a little Bezin somewhere in Tel Aviv, or that's a big Bezin, a little Bezin somewhere in Beit Shemesh, I don't know, some little village. It's going to make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, that's going to be negia for all of Klal Yisrael. That's not proper. So the proper derech eretz is that it should be taken care of by the Bezin HaGadol or the Bezin whom they have designated. But Bezman Shein Bezin HaGadol should say that that's Likuvah, so the Ramban holds that it's not correct. And the Ramban holds not so. The Ramban writes, no, you need Dafke Bezin HaGadol. So that's the Ramban's main kasha. There was no Bezin HaGadol. 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh, the Gemara says in the end of Saita, in a different place, but there's Zohar in the first parak in various places. The Gemara says that Gols HaSanhedrin Melishkas HaGozes, and what's the halachic ramification, what's the halachic significance of the fact that the Sanhedrin was Golu? So the Gemara says the halachic significance is that you can no longer be done in the fascists, that the Bezna Golu only maintain a special unique status as Bezna Golu when you have Mokum Gorim, Elam HaShem Mokum Gorim, the Kamtavi Alisa Lamokum, when the Bezna Golu is meeting in the Lishkas HaGozes. If they're not meeting in their Rofus, then they don't have that special status of Bezna Golu. So the days of Abai v'Rava, till the days of Abai v'Rava, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael still Makadosh Alfi Ariya Ma'ab Shonin. So that's what the Ramban says, how can it be? The Bezin HaGadol disappeared way before, a few hundred years before. How can it be that there was still a Bezin HaGadol? So the Mefarshim on the Sefer HaMitzvah say that the Rambam's opinion is that halacha, Malam HaShamach and Gorim, it's not a din that if the Bezin HaGadol is not in Lishkas HaGozes, they don't have the din of Bezin HaGadol. It's only a din in Zochem Mamre. That pasuk only appears in the parsha of Zochem Mamre. Kamtav Aliyotsu Lamokim, Kipalim Uchadov Alamishpa, Midam Ladam, Bindin Adim, and Negev Negev, Kamtav Aliyotsu Lamokim, and you have to listen to the Psak, and anyone who passes against the position of the Bezin HaGadol is Nanish with an Einish Misa, Zochem Mamre. So that's only a din in Zochem Mamre, and then the Gemara derives from Zochem Mamre to all din in Foshes. The Lame, that Bizman, that the Sanhedrin is in Golos, when they're not Yoshim and Bimkomam, no Sanhedrin anywhere in the world can be done Din in the Foshes. Okay, so it's one big system of Bezin HaGadol, the Sanhedrin is one big judiciary system, and Bizman, that the Bezin HaGadol cannot function to give Din in the Foshes, none of the other but the Dinim can give Din in the Foshes either. But it's not a Din that there's no Bezin HaGadol. So apparently the Rambam thinks that the Bezin HaGadol institution was maintained until the days of Abai v'Rav in Eretz Yisrael, that is, Abai v'Rav lived in Babel, but till the days of Hillel Hasheni, they would still have a body of 70 Chachamim that would constitute the chief rabbinate, and even when they were running away from the Romans, and even generations later, till the days of Hillel Hasheni, there was a Bezin HaGadol. So they had the status of Bezin HaGadol, but in Gia too, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana. It could well be, like Rav Soloveitchik explained in his Yahrzeit Shir, the first Yahrzeit that Rav Soloveitchik had after his father passed away, the first year, so he gave a Yahrzeit Drasha, which he printed the year after, on the occasion of the second Yahrzeit. So that was about Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana. So he explained in that Shir that there were two dinim of Bezin HaGadol. There was one din, Esfili Shivimish Hashir Daiti Kehem Ziknei Ha'om V'Shaitro, that they, it's sort of like a parliament, or like a congress, like the Knesset, that they represent the Das HaKohol. And then there's another din, the Bezin HaGadol are the chief poskim, are the Moira HaRoa and the Chachmei HaMaser. So it could be that the role, that's how Rav Soloveitchik claims there, that the role of the Bezin HaGadol on Kiddush HaChodesh is not so much Beteiras that they poskim the Shver HaShaila, Kiddush HaChodesh, it's not such a Shver HaShaila. The witnesses come and they say that they saw the moon and Shaila. So you Kaver HaShaila, it's not such a difficult, complicated thing that you should need Bezin HaGadol. But rather that the Kiddush HaChodesh is really Nimsa to Klal Yisrael. The Bezin HaGadol represents Klal Yisrael. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik develops, if I'm not mistaken, could be that he develops the theme himself in his kuntris on Kiddush HaChodesh, and not in the first Yortzeit Shir, that the Laman Shamakum Gore means that they no longer have that din of Bez Nagodol of paskening the Shilas. That din they don't have, but this din of Sheyedaita Kehem Zikneh Ha'am the Shoitra, that they represent the Das Rav HaKohol, so that din maintained even after the Bezna was no longer in the Lishkas HaGoz. The din is that they were told the Korban Pesach has to be brought with a chabura. That's a din l'deres also. HaPesach en nechal el l'minuyov. So you have to know before you shech the Korban Pesach who are the members of the chabura. Who are the people who are going to eat this Korban Pesach? The sheep are born that season of the year. So they're very young. You're not allowed to shech the born in the springtime. So the halacha says you're not permitted to bring a carbon before Shivas Yom Yitachsimim Yom Shmini B'Holi Yiratza the carbon. You have to wait till it's 8 days old. So they're very tiny. If you see sheep that time of the year, they're very, very tiny. Theoretically, if a person is really interested, he could eat up the whole carbon pesach all on his own. It's a lot of flesh. It's a lot of eating. But theoretically, it is possible. It's not such an impossible. It's not the big. It's not a big cow. It's a skinny little gopher, a little lamb. So it's not so much. So the Tanoim had a machlokes whether shechtim sa pesach ala yochid or not. Let's say one guy wants to eat the whole carbon pesach himself. He doesn't want to share. Doesn't get along with other people. Or he's hungry. Whatever. It's a big fat guy. He's hungry and he wants to eat up the whole carbon pesach, which is physically possible. You're not allowed to shecht the carbon pesach in a way that you know that you're going to leave over nisim. But like you're not going to leave over nisim. There's not so much flesh over there. Not so many kizesim in the whole carbon pesach. So the Tanoim had a machlokes regarding this din. Is the halacha only in the negative? HaPesach en nechal el l'minuyev? If it's shaloi l'minuyev, you're not allowed to eat. You have to eat the korban pesach only l'minuyev. Or it's a positive din. You must bedavke have a chabura. You cannot shech the korban pesach that doesn't have a chabura. If you only have one person, there's no chabura. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. Whether shech them is HaPesach ala yochid or not. How exactly does one become one of the minuyim? How do you become one of the minuyim? You write your name down on the list. It's my behema, let's say. I paid for it. It was born in my flock. And then I have a list and I say, who's interested in joining me? So I'll write your name down. That's the whole story. Or do you have to make a kinyan? So this is a big problem. Minchas Chinuch on the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, on this parsha, quotes one of his Talmidim by name. Every so often he quotes some of his Talmidim by name. He quotes some of the Talmidim who pointed out that there's a stira between two Gemaras in Maseches Pesachim and Perek Ha'ishah, where the Mishnayos and the Gemaras talk about women eating Korban Pesach and Evet Knaini eating Korban Pesach. So regarding Evet Knaini, there are stiras in the Gemara from one daf to the other, two Gemaras which contradict each other, whether in order to become a Mamuna on a Korban Pesach you have to make a Kinyan on the Korban Pesach, and then you're going to have a problem called Mashikon Evet Kon Rabbo. How does the Evet Knaini acquire any property the minute that he's kind of goes to the Yodan? So how is the Eved ever, how can an Eved Knaini ever eat Korban Pesach? He's always going to be Shalom Menuya by definition. And then the Gemara has a whole discussion, Machnet to the Eved, Amanashi and the Rabbi Rishusboy, and a whole discussion the Gemara, how do you do that? And then there's another Gemara that somehow seems to be favorish to imply that that's not necessary, that no Kinyonim are necessary. All you need is that it should be understood with the permission, with the authorization of the Baal HaBehemah. It's understood in advance before the Shechitas HaKorban that you are going to be one of the minuyim. So it's really a problem in the Gemara. There's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. Rav Zalvala Soloveitchik in his Sefer starts off a discussion by quoting the Mechilta on the Pasuk Mishchu Ukhulachem Tzon V'Shachatu HaPesach. So the Mechilta comments Mishchu, that the word means, the word is alluding to the Kinyan Meshicha, and we can't from this pasuk we derive the din that Behemah Dakla's nicknames be Meshicha. So where do you see, why should you need a Kinyan Meshicha? So obviously the Mechilta is of the opinion, that's what Rav Avraham Soloveitchik writes in his Sefer on the Rambam. Obviously Mechilta is of the opinion that in order to be considered one of the Menuyim, you have to have a Kinyan. That it's not sufficient just to have your name written down on the list. And it's known in advance before the Shechita that you are interested in participating in. That it seems that the Mechilta requires a Kinyan. But that's again, that's the Minchas Chinuch's Esek, that it's a steer between two Gemaras.
need to have a kinyan for shame being included, or just if you own it? I mean, so if you have a shitkin, do you need to do some sort of more elaborate thing, or?
No. The shitkin in the behemoth. Just when they shechted, it should be understood that they both plan to eat. That for sure. It has to be understood that all of these people plan to eat from this carbon pheasant. But the question is, in addition to that, do you also need ownership? But if they are shutzim already, so you don't need that, it should be kind of specifically the shame carbon pheasant. No. They were told, that it was mikcha mi ba'asa. This was only a hayra shor. This is one of the dinim that only applied to Pesach Mitzrayim and does not apply to Pesach Doris. That it was mikcha mi ba'asa. They had to purchase it on the 10th day of the month. And then it says, they had to hold it tied onto their bed or near their home till the 14th, till Erev Pesach. And then, shachta also kalkal zaisel bin abayim. Then everybody shechts the carbon. This din does not apply to Duris. The Duris, you can buy the carbon Pesach and Erev Pesach. There's no need to prepare it 4 days in advance. What were they doing there for 4 days? What do they have to do with the carbon? So the Gemara explains that you have to check the carbon for 4 days to look it over to make sure that there are no mumim. This din is only Ahira Ashur. This din was not a din of Duris. But the Gemara learns that from this, with the Yalfusa, the Gemara learns that from here that the carbon tamid, which was offered every day of the year in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a tamid shashach, tamid shabein abayim, two kvasim every day, that did require bikur dalad yamim. It did require bikur checking over 4 days in advance of the hakrovah to make sure that it doesn't have any mumim. There is a big discussion in Achreinim regarding the bikur dalad yamim of a carbon Pesach, let's say over here, the Hayra Ashur, that it needed Bikur Dalad Yamim, but the din that we have Madaris, that every carbon tamid requires Bikur Dalad Yamim, does the Bikur have to be done, the checking over, the Bedika for Mumim, does that have to be done dafke after the Hagdasha? Means Mikcha Mibasa means that they were Magdish, the carbon Pesach on the 10th of Nisan, and then they checked it for 4 days in a row. The checking has to be done dafke after the Hagdasha, or not necessarily so? You can check it for 4 days in a row before you're Magdash, and then before you're about to shecht it, then you'll be Magdash at the last minute. So the issue of Pesach Mitzrayim is not relevant to us. There ain't going to be any more Pesach Mitzrayim. But the issue is the Korban Oyla Satamin, which is brought every day, was it necessary to be Magdash before the Bikur Dal Yamim or not? The tour in Arachayim suggests that the reason why we refer to the Shabbos before Pesach as the Shabbos HaGadol is because the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 10th of Nisan, fell out on Shabbos. You have to check your calendar to see if it's so. That's what he claims. Anybody know the calendar by heart? For some people who have computer memories and they can figure out. Anyway, that's what the Torah says. That year, he says according to the Gemara, that year the 10th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos, and there was a big nest that occurred, that despite the fact that every Jewish family took a sheep and tied it to his bed, and the next door neighbors were asking, what are you doing with the animals? They worshipped this as an Avodah Zarah. The Mitzrayim worshipped it, so the Jews would say, we're going to slaughter that to our God. In other words, we're going to kill your God as a religious ritual to our God. And the Mitzrayim didn't kill him, and they didn't do anything about it. So that already was a nest. So the Torah says to remind ourselves, to remember that nest, so we refer to the Shabbos before Pesach as the Shabbos HaGadol. The commentaries on the Torah ask Akasha, so why do we single out Shabbos? It happened accidentally, the 10th of Nisan happened to be Shabbos. If the 10th of Nisan would have been a weekday, it would have been the 10th of Nisan. Wasn't it then the Shabbos before Pesach? They should set aside a behemoth. The Torah, Rabbi Shlomo said, you have to look in the Gemara to realize that the 10th of Nisan that year happened to have fallen out on Shabbos. The Gemara makes a whole calculation when the Torah was given. The Torah was given the 5th of Sivan, the 6th of Sivan, and the Torah was given on Shabbos. And then you work backwards, you'll figure out that the Shabbos before Pesach happened to be the 10th of Nisan. So that's what the Nisan Kelim ask on the tour. So it doesn't really make sense. Why don't we call every year the 10th of Nisan? The Yom HaGadol, the Yom Nais HaGadol. Why do we call it the Shabbos HaGadol? So that's what other Mefarshim give, other suggestions. One of the Gdolim in Europe gave a suggestion based on the Gemara, Masechah Shabbos, in the beginning of Klal Gadol. So the Gemara says, Plow Gadol, the beginning of the seventh parak. So the Gemara says the expression, the term used by the Mishnah, Plow Gadol, implies Mechlal Dika Klal Katan. If he's speaking about a Klal Gadol, so the connotation, the implication is that there's a Klal Katan. And the Gemara has two Mishnahs like that, where it says Klal Gadol and implies that there's a Klal Katan. So that's what one of the Gdolim in Europe said, that Shabbos HaGadol implies that there's another Shabbos that's the Shabbos HaKotan. Which Shabbos is that? That's Pesach. Is referred to as Shabbos because the Torah tells us you should count Sfira Somer Mimachras HaShabbos Miyom HaViyachem HaSayim HaTnufo. So the Gemara says that for quite a few years the Tzedukim during the period of the Bai Sheni were of the opinion that Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday. Why? Because Sfira Somer always begins on a Sunday. Mimachras HaShabbos, you start counting Sfira the day after Shabbos, means Sunday, so you have to count 7 full weeks. And then the 7 full weeks are always going to end. If it starts on a Sunday, it's always going to end at a Shabbos. And then after the 7 full weeks are over, you have the Yontav of Shavuos. So Shavuos is always on a Sunday. And the reason why, the Gemara quotes, the reason why, because the God of the Jewish nation wanted to give us a holiday that we should have a weekend, have a whole weekend. The other Yom Tov, 7 days in a row, 8 days in a row. Sukkot is 8 days in a row. Shavuos, never only one day. So instead of having it in the middle of the week, they give them an extended weekend. So they have off on Shabbos and on Sunday. That's how the Tzedukim interpreted. That's how they understood. So the Tanaim got very angry and he said, that's not the tradition. The tradition is that you count Sfiras Hayomim, Mimachas HaShabbos, the day after Pesach. We count Sfiras Hayomim, the first day Chol HaMoed. In America, it's not so clear because we have 2 days Yom Tov. So we count Sfiras Hayomim at the second day Pesach. But that means in Eretz Yisrael, in Israeli language, that means the first day Chol HaMoed. So Mimachas HaShabbos means the day after Yom Tov. So that's perhaps the reason, that's what some Gedolim say, that's the reason why we refer to the Shabbos before Pesach as the Shabbos HaGadol, implying Mechlal Dika Shabbos Katan, that there's another Shabbos that's called the Shabbos HaKatan, that's Pesach itself. The upcoming holiday, Pesach, is going to be referred to as the Chumash, as Mimachas HaShabbos, that's the Shabbos HaKatan. And the Shabbos before is the Shabbos HaGadol, that's the bigger Shabbos. There's no Heterech HaNefesh on Shabbos, it's only Heterech HaNefesh on Yom Tov. This time that the whole expression doesn't make sense. Why do you call it Shabbos HaGadol? It should be Shabbos HaGadolah. Shabbos is Losh in the Kever. So others say that Shabbos HaGadol means the Shabbos on which you say the Haftarah, Lifnei Bayom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanoro. That's one of the closing psukim in the Haftarah. The Orvo. You say the Haftarah of the Orvo, in which you mention the Pasuk, Lifnei Bayom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanoro. So that makes sense. Shabbos HaGadol. It's a Shabbos like Shabbos Shuvah. Because you say the Haftarah, Shuvah Yisrael, Shabbos Nahamu, Shabbos Chazon. He called the name of the Shabbos Al Shem the Haftar. So we should really call it Shabbos V'Yorvo. No, we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Others say, no, it's called Shabbos HaGadol again. It should be Shabbos HaGadol. Others say Shabbos HaGadol means the Shabbos of the Orem HaGadol. The meaning was that the Rav would give a big pilpul. The meaning still is that the Rav gives a big pilpul on the Shabbos before Pesach. So that's perhaps why it's called the Shabbos Shel HaOrem HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol doesn't mean, it's not an adjective, not a description of Shabbos, then it should be Shabbos HaGadol. I'd rather Shabbos Shel HaOrem HaGadol. Whatever, that's what the Torah said. It's called Shabbos HaGadol because Mikra Mi Be'Oser on Pesach Mitzrayim, and that happened to be that year on Shabbos. And the Torah has this strange pasuk, Oy Lachem LeMishmeres HaRabos Yom LaChodesh Hazeh. They should hold it for 4 days to do Bikur, to check, to see that there are no Mumim. Meshachto also called Kahal Adas Yisrael Bein Ho Arboim. So the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin asks, does every single person shecht his own Korban Pesach? It's not true. You have many Korbanos. We have many people participating. According to one Tana, all Korbanos have a Chabura. Every Korban Pesach. Ain't shecht himself Pesach ala yochid. So all of the Shutim in the Korban are going to shecht the Korban. Shecht also called Kahal Adas Yisrael Beinu Arbaim. It's not true. So the answer is given by the Gemara. Mikan, from this Pasuk, we derive the principle of Shlucho Shaladim Kamoisai. You have one person shecht the korban, and it's considered as if all of the shutfim, all of the balei hakorban doesn't necessarily have to be in the imam, it's balei hakorban in the sense of kapar, the korban is oiler for them. All of the balei hakorban have appointed this one person as a shliach to serve on their behalf, the shecht to do the shechita. So the shechita is mitzaref to all of the shutfim and the korban, and that's how they're all yotzei the mitzvah. This is one of the sources that the Gemara quotes in the beginning, second parak conclusion, is a long sugya. Shlichus minolan. How do you know that there's such an institution of shluchus shlodim kemoisoi? So the Gemara quotes one Tana learned it up in this pasuk. Shocht also called kahal adas Yisrael bein hu arboim. The Gemara in Pesachim says in the Mishnah, a Pesach nishchad b'sholosh kitos. Krishna says when they were shech the Korban Pesach, they would have three times they were shech the Korban Pesach. The Levim would be reciting Hallel, the Shas Shechitas HaPesach, the Gemara says Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni doesn't have Hallel. They don't recite Hallel. Ashir Azei Yalachem Kilel His Kaddish Chag. The Gemara says you only recite the Shira, the Shas Shechitas HaPesach, if the night following is going to be Yontif. But Pesach Sheni is not a Yontif. Pesach Sheni is just a Zman that you can bring the Korban. But if, none of the Yisuri Malacha, you don't have Vayirah, Vayimatzah, you don't have any of the mitzvahs are Yontif Hanoi. So the Gemara says there, this is one of the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, that only when you brought the Pesach Rishon did they recite the Shira. So the Mishnah describes in himself that they would Bisholosh Kitas HaPesach Nishcha, they would divide all of Klal Yisrael into three groups, they would let in one group into the Azorah with their behemoths, with their karbonas, and then they would shech the Korban Pesach, and then the Levim would be singing Shira, and when they would be finished, then they would leave the Azara, and the second group would come in, and then again the Levim would sing Shira, Hallel. They would recite Hallel a second time, and they would shech the second batch, and then the third time. That the Mishnah describes in Samach Dal and Manal, Pesach Nishcha B'sholosh Kita Shinema B'shech Tosov Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Kohal V'Eda the Israel. That's how it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara, Omrav Yitzchok, one of the Amoraim comes up with an idea. Very strange. He disagrees with the Mishnah. He says, even though the Mishnah makes this flat statement that you have to have Pesach Nishcha B'sholosh Kitos, we are mesupik regarding the understanding of the Pasuk, Kahal Adas Yisrael. Does it mean that you have three groupings, Bezeach Hazeh? HaPesach Nishcha B'Sholosh Kitas, the way the Mishnah describes, that was the practice for hundreds of years in the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Rishon, I guess, also, possibly. Well, no. Kahal Adas Yisrael means that you have to have 30 people present when you shech the Korban Pesach. Just like the word Eido, Ein Eido Chusim Asora, as Admasa Leida Hara Hazaz, when the Meragim came back, so Yeshua and Kolev said the truth. They gave the proper description, correct description of what's doing in Eretz Yisrael. And the other 10 Meraglim gave a false report. And HaKadosh Baruch got angry and said, Amasa Leida Harazah. He said, the Mishnah in the first parak, beginning of Sanhedrin, derives from that pasuk that the word Eda has the connotation of 10. Because there were 12 Meraglim and 2 he wasn't angry at. So he was only angry at the 10. So from that pasuk we derive that the word Eda, whenever it appears in Chumash, has the connotation of 10 people. So here also, Rabbi Yitzchok claims, Kohol Eda Yisrael, each phrase, each term implies 10. So you should not shech the Korban Pesach with less than 30 people b'vasachas, not b'zechazeh. Not that you have to have sholosh kitas, but b'vasachas. So Rabbi Yitzchok the Amora takes on the Mishnah, he disagrees, he says, but it says in the Mishnah, there's only one side of the, it's a chakira, it's a suffix, how do you read pshat in the pasuk? So you have to be machmer to have sholosh kitas, but you should see to it also that each one of the kitas should have a minimum of 30 people. How does he come off to disagree with the Mishnah? It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. So on the side of the Gemara it says that you shouldn't think that this Rabbi Yitzchok invented it from thin air. He's quoting a Mechilta. The Mechilta says like that, that each kita, each kat, each group that's shechting the Korban Pesach has to have a minimum of 30 people. And the pshat and the Mechilta is that the Tanoim or Mesupik had to read the Pasuk. Well, the Kohal Lady Yisrael referred to Bezeach Hazeh. Then it's efficient if you have 10 each time. Oh no, there's no need for 3 kitas. They had 3 kitas because of the suffix, but maybe there's no need for shalosh kitas. Maybe all the pasuk means to say is that you have to have a minimum of 30 Jews shechting a Korban Pesach at any given time. Of course, the Hayra Shoah Mitzrayim was that they had to sprinkle the dam. The pasuk Zayin. They didn't have any mizbeach. So there was no Azrikas Adam on a Mizbeach. It was a special Hayru Ashur. What did they do with the Haktoras Achelev? So the Gemara discusses it. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that there was no Haktoras anymore. There was no Mizbeach. The Pashup Shat, there was no Haktoras anymore. In fact, according to the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, they probably had to eat the Achelev because it was an obligation to eat all of the meat. And Lo says, Sirim Menu Adboike, not allowed to leave anything over to the next day. So even if a person wants to volunteer Amidas Chasidus, not to eat Chalev before the Torah had yet given that commandment, that's fine if you shech the Yeron Behemah Schulim. But if here you're dealing with the Korban Pesach and you're commanded to eat everything that possibly could be eaten, so then the Pashto says, if the dinner, and you're not allowed to leave anything over till the next morning, so you're not permitted to volunteer Amidas Chassidus that I don't want to eat chayla because after the Torah is going to be given in another couple of weeks, another 7 weeks, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we won't be allowed to eat any chayla. But now it's Koyde Matan Torah, so you're allowed to eat chayla. So the Pashtus says that you're mechuyev to eat chayla. So the Pashtus is like that, that they did the tzli of the whole Korban Pesach and they ate all the chayla, with the bli of the chayla, with the chayla, had to eat everything. That's all the Pashtus. And later on the din was changed. Nitin Torah is Chad Shalocha, that you have to cut out the chaylev and makter on the Mizbeach, and you're not permitted to eat. If by mistake you broil the Korban Pesach with the chaylev in it, then you're not permitted to eat the whole Korban Pesach, because Tom Kiker has a belia of the Trefe chaylev. Gidon Asher also, yeah, had to be removed. Gidon Asher, it depends whether they were forbidden already from the days of Yankov Vina to eat Gidon Asher, or was only given at Har Sinai. If the Gidon Asher was the mitzvah of Gidon Asher was given already, so then they had no choice. They had to remove the Gidon Asher from before. The Gemara has in the first parak in Brachos the Machlokes Hatanoim, Rav Lozer ben Azariah, Rav Akiva regarding the zman of Chatzos of Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says HaPesach ein anechel ela ad Chatzos. Pesach ein anechel ela minui ben anechel ela Chatzos ein anechel ela. How does it say? Ein anechel ela tzoli. It's supposed to be a Medrash Pliya that says HaPesach Ein Anechel Ela B'Chomitz. So they say B'Chomitz is a Rosh Hashanah, Balayla, Chatzos, Menuyov, and Tzli. The last four lines in the Mishnah in Hazel Mekoyman. HaPesach Ein Anechel Ela B'Alayla. So the Gemara has a comment there on Hazel Mekoyman. Why does it have the double negative? Ein Anechel Ela Ad Chatzos. You should say in the positive. Ochem sapesach, kedem chatzos. En lechem sapesach hachatzos. Why a double negative? En anechal elo ad chatzos. The stress that it's a din derais. That's how the Gemara says that. That tana in Ezel Mekoyman is Rav Lozer ben Azariah who says that chatzos is a din derais. Rabbi Kiva in the first perik in Brachos says chatzos only a din derabbanon. The first Mishnah in Brachos on the first daf says the chatzos regarding kriyashma is only derabbanon. And the same by Korban Pesach, Chatzos is only Midrabbanan, Kedelahach and Kesodim and Aver. You're not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, and after Chatzos it's midnight, it's dark, and after Alos HaShachar it's also pretty dark. You can't really tell by looking outside. It's very hard to tell that it's Alos HaShachar. So they made Gzera Midrabbanan to prohibit, according to the way we assume the Halacha. Most of the Tanaim assume that Chatzos is only Midrabbanan by the Korban Pesach. So they only made Gzeir Drabbanan, but that Mishnah is Ezel Mekoyman holds that it's a Din Deraisa. Taisus in the first Perek in Brachos asks the Kasha, if Chatzos is really a Din Deraisa, so how do you read Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Lo Sisir Men Ad Boiker, Anoiz Men Ad Boiker, Weish Disrofu? What kind of Boker? It should say Lo Sisir Men Ad Lacha Chatzos, Anoiz Men Acha Chatzos, Weish Disrofu? Boker doesn't play a role at all. So the Yosameach writes, that's Taisus Kasha. Daftes, I think, in Brochet, Daftes and all. So the Yosemech writes that when he was younger, he said, Al Derech HaCharifis, a pshat, but then when he got a little older, he realized that it's against the Nafan and Gemara. When he was younger, he said, even if you hold like Rav Lozer ben Azariah, that if you eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, you're not Yotzei, it doesn't mean that it's forbidden to eat it. It means you have to eat, you have to have your Seder before Chatzos. You need at least the kazayis of the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, but then you can eat the rest of the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, so you won't be yotzei the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So you'll eat it as a plain Korban Shlomim, as a plain Korban Kachim Kalim. What's wrong? A regular Shlomim, a regular Kachim Kalim, you can eat all night long. Just the Korban Pesach digger aspect of the Korban Pesach has to be done before Chatzos. That's how he said when he was younger, he said. And that's what he thought was the answer to the kashalos. You see, men are boiker, men are boiker. Why speak about boiker of chatzos is deraisa? So the answer is, how does Rav Lozer ben Azariah know that chatzos is deraisa? Because as we achlos habosta balayla hazeh, the expression that's used is balayla hazeh, and it says by Makas Bechor is Hashem yikokol Bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh. So he learns the gzeira shava balayla hazeh, just like by Makas Bechor it means chatzos. So it's over here, the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by chatzos. And nonetheless, that's in pasuk ches. Ve'ochlos habasa balayla zeh means before chatzos. Nonetheless, in pasuk yud, it talks about ad boiker. So the Yosemech writes that be'alduso, when he was young, he thought that that's the ter. You have to eat at least the kazayis before chatzos, then you can eat the rest after chatzos. Then he got older, and he realized that the Gemara seems kimat beferish to say black and white not so. The Gemara in Daf Ayin says beferish that a Pesach acha chatzos, it's a Mishnah later, in Pesach. the last part of Sachem. HaPesach HaChatzoi is Nekame Yisai Yadayim. The Tanai made Xer the Rabbanon that if you touch Pigol, Noisur, or Tamei, Nekame Yisai Yadayim, your hands become Tamei. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, HaPesach HaChatzoi is Nekame Yisai Yadayim, because it's like Noisur. So the Gemara says, should I say that that's not Mishnah is like Rav Lazim and Azariah, that Chatzoi is the din there, right? So the Gemara says, no. Even if you all like Rabbi Kiva, that the din of Chatzos is only the Rabbanon, it's still Matami says it doesn't make a difference whether you hold Chatzos is the right of the Rabbanon. After Chatzos, you're not permitted to eat it, so it's Matami says it. So he asks, why did the Gemara think that if you hold like Rabbi Lazman Azariah is better? If you hold like Rabbi Kiva Shver, why? If you hold like Rabbi Lazman Azariah, the way he claimed, the way the Yosemite claimed the Alduso, you can even continue to eat the flesh that's left over from the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, Beteres Kochim Kalim. So what's wrong? It's the exact same problem, bein the Rav Lozman Azar, bein the Rabbanon, that it's only prohibited, it's only forbidden to eat it at all, mid the Rabbanon after Chatzai, it's not an Isadar. So you see Mefurish from the Gemara that he's wrong, that's what he writes. See Mefurish, that is Svara, that he, his Harif is because Svara, that he said when he was younger is incorrect, that according to Rav Lozman Azar, you may not eat the Korban Pesach at all after Chatzai. The question is, Taka, why not? Why not? So he won't be Yotze Korban Pesach. So he'll eat his Beteres Kachim Kala, he'll eat his Beteres Shlomit. So that's the answer. The answer to that is probably found in the Gemara at the end of Kol Shor, where the Gemara says, when you shech the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, you're not permitted to begin to eat it till alayla, because it says, "V'achlos habasa balayla zeh balayla v'lo bayom," and it's halav habo mechlala. Say that's the bottom of Mem Aleph on the base. "V'achlos habasa balayla zeh balayla en bayom lo," and it's halav habo mechlala. Say she'ein loikin. Tanoim, Amen, Beis Amin Aleph is that Lav Abba Mechlal Asa is like him all of it, so he'll be like it. He's Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach before Laila. You will be like it. If one were to hold that Lav Abba Mechlal Asa is like him all of it. So what do you see from this Gemara? Why is it forbidden to eat the Korban Pesach before Laila? Why are you not allowed to eat an Erev Pesach? Every other Kodshim Kalim, the minute you shecht it and you zerk the dam, you're allowed to eat it. So the answer is that's what the Pasuk tells you. Yachlus Habasa Balayla Zeh tells you that the Korban Pesach may only be eaten b'teiras Korban Pesach. If you'll eat it in a fashion that you'll only be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achidas Kachim Kalim, but you won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achidas Korban Pesach, then you're in violation of this essay. So just like on Erev Pesach you're not permitted to eat it, so too on Leil Pesach Eftach Hatzorit, Rav Lozman Azar, you're not permitted, it's the same Issa, you're not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach Menateret in Issa. Why? Because you're eating the Korban Pesach only b'toras kachim kalim, shalom b'toras Korban Pesach. That's exactly the Yisr essay. It's the same Yisr essay to eat Korban Pesach Erev Yontif as it is to eat Korban Pesach Leil Yontif after Chatzai, to eat it shalom b'toras Korban Pesach. Yeah, that's a different thing. That's midirabona, kadeshi yochol l'tayovon, that we should eat the matzah l'tayovon, we should eat Korban Pesach l'tayovon. That's a different thing. Here there happens to be a major machlokes of Rishonim on this post of the Ochlos Habasa Balayla Hazeh, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten Balayla. Is that to be taken literally? Dafke Balayla? Let's say a person is Mekabel Yontif early. He's always Moisif Mechoil Al HaKodesh. An older person likes to go to sleep early, so he's Mekabel Yontif an hour early, and he wants to have the whole Seder Bayom. He wants to finish eating everything, Chad Gadya, everything, till the end, Echaz Miyadeh. He wants to finish everything and go to sleep before Shkiyah. Is there anything wrong with that? So Tosis in the beginning of Avi Pesachim says you can't do that because there's V'achlos Habasa B'Layla Hazeh. Layla, you need Layla. And some Rishon, some Balei Tosis disagree. The Tosis V'Harosh in Brachas around Davchov Vav, Davchov Zayin quotes opinions and Balei Tosis who disagree. They said that you can. V'achlos Habasa B'Layla Hazeh merely means that you cannot fulfill a mitzvah of Korban Pesach on Erev Yontif. You cannot fulfill a mitzvah tomorrow in the daytime. But after you mekabel kedusha sayem av yontif, that's called balayla hazeh. It doesn't mean dafke layla. You don't have to wait till Pesach kacham. Our practice is, and Shulchan Aruch it says, that when the husband comes home from shul on Pesach night, he shouldn't begin to say kiddush until it's vaday layla till Pesach kacham, because we follow Tosis shita, and we have the Tosis in the first daf in Arvei Pesachim. that you understand. Laila means literally Laila. The Zman of Tosefet is not acceptable for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And the same is true regarding all of the mitzvahs halayla, that the arba kaisis and the matzah and the mar, everything has to be done dafka balayla. And you shouldn't reinterpret that balayla just means efti mekabel kedushas hayom av yontif. Mara says in Ketzat Zaylan, the Mishnah says in Ketzat Zaylan, the Korban Pesach has to be tzli eish, v'loi tzli machmas dover acher. That's why the Mishnah says that when you broil the Korban Pesach, you cannot put it on a regular broiler that's made from metal. Because by metal, when the heat is going to be broiling the Korban Pesach, the heat will also heat up the metal. And metal is a conductor of heat. So the inner part of the Korban Pesach that's going to be on the spit, that's going to be touching, the, let's say you'll stick a metal bar through the whole animal of the Korban Pesach. Or you'll have the Korban Pesach sitting on a metal broiler. So the metal will be heated up by the fire, and then the metal will be cooked, will be broiling the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach will not be broiled by the heat directly. It'll be indirectly. The heat heated up the metal, which in turn broiled the Korban Pesach. That's called Tzli Machmas Dover Acher. So the Mishnah says you have to have dafke a wooden spit. And then the Mishnah says that the wood has to be dafke from some wood also conducts heat a little bit. You have to use a certain kind of wood that practically doesn't have any heat at all. I mean, it's just going to warm up the Korban Pesach. That's not called tzli. You have to be careful that it shouldn't be a conductor of heat that should transmit so much heat through the wood that it should be broiling the Korban Pesach at that point where it's touching it. So the Mishnah tells you which branches of which trees they used to use. Dafke special branches. So that's the question. What do you do with this pasuk again? What do you do with Loisasirim Menu Ad Boiker? Taisus Kasha and Daf Tes. So the Yosameach writes that when he was younger, he suggested this teretz, that even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach before Chatzos, but you can still continue to eat the flesh after Chatzos. So you won't be yotzei Korban Pesach, you're yotzei the mitzvah of Achilas Kachem Kal. But if you see from the Gemara and Daf Ayin that it's wrong, like he points out himself, so what do you talk to do with the pasuk over here? Loisasirim Menu Ad Boiker? So to answer this kasha, Rav Soloveitchik printed a Dvatera many years ago in the name of his father, the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Or could be Rav Moshe Soloveitchik himself printed it while he was alive. Could be Rav Moshe Soloveitchik himself printed it. And the other part of the family says it over the name of Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, the same answer, the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, whatever. Everybody claims this answer. It's a good answer. I think it already says an earlier swarm. The others say it as well before they were born. Other swarms say that even according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach by Chatzos, but still, that's the zman of the kiyum ha-mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. But every korban has a zman. And if you hold the korban over past its zman, then it becomes noiser. And if when I shech the korban, I plan to eat it after the zman of the korban, then it becomes pigum. So take Lamashal, the Gemara has in the end of Ezel Mekoimon, the Gemara has a Machloikis Amaroyim, what's the din regarding a Shlomim? A Korban Shlomim is Nechel Shnei Yomim V'Laila Echad. Let's say I bring a Shlomim today, so I can eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow till Shkiyah. And after the Shkiyah, you're not allowed to eat it. But it doesn't become, the Gemara has a Machloikis, does it become already Noiser tomorrow evening at Shkiyah? They say no, it doesn't become Noiser till the next morning, till Shabbos morning. At Alois HaShachar. What does that mean? So the Gemara has this Machlokes HaMaroim. There is a possibility to distinguish between the Zman of Achilas HaKorban as opposed to the Zman of the Korban. If you leave the Korban over past its Zman, then the Korban turns into Noisa. Just because you didn't eat the Korban at the time that you can fulfill a mitzvah, and now there's no longer an opportunity to eat it, that doesn't mean that it's Noisa. Every Korban has a Zman. So the Gemara has this Machlokes Chizki of Rabbi Yochanan, what is this man of Kach Mekala? Maybe this man is Yom Alaylo, Yom Alaylo. 2 full days, Yom Alaylo, Yom Alaylo. So really, any carbon that's brought today, this man is up on Shabbos morning at Alois HaShachar. Because the Gemara says, B'kotshim, Alaylo Halach Achar Hayom. It's not like in Kol HaTarukula that Hayom Halach Achar Alaylo. Shabbos, Yom Tovim, everything begins at sundown, and it goes from Bein HaShemashes till Bein HaShemashes. And Kachim, the Gemara says in Chulin that it's the reverse. That halayla halach acharayam. So if you bring a Kachim Kalim, you bring a Shlamim today, so it would appear that the Zman of the Shlamim, one opinion in the Gemara is the Zman of the Shlamim is two full days. Yom Balayla and Yom Balayla. Till Shabbos morning. Till Los HaShach Shabbos morning. There's halacha that it can only be eaten. The fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achilas, Kachim Kalim is only in Shnei Yom and Balayla Echad. So after Shkia, Shabbos evening, Friday evening, after Shkia, up until Alos HaShach, although it still is theoretically the Zman of the Korban didn't yet turn into Nisar, it didn't turn into Nisar yet, but still you are not permitted to eat it, because that's not the Zman of Achilat HaKorban. So that's a Machlekes HaMaroim. Is it that, or the Yom Shlishi, the night after the second day is up, Shnei Yom V'lai Lechad, or the Yom Shlishi, the night after the second day is up, is it that that's the end of the Zman of the Korban? Or no, the Zman of the Korban theoretically is till the morning. It's just that it's not the Zman of Achilas HaKorban. The Gemara has two nafkaminas. One is, if somebody will eat it on Friday night until Shabbos morning, will he be chayv karis or not? Is it nicer or is it not nicer? And the other nafkamina the Gemara has is, if you shech the shlamim today and you intend to eat it on Friday night, you plan to eat it tomorrow night, does it become pigol or not? It only becomes pigol if you plan to eat the korban at a time that there's an isa karis in eating it, because it's already been turned into noisa. But if you plan to eat it at a time, let's say I shech the korban Pesach and I plan to eat it on Erev Pesach, before Shkia, on Erev Pesach, so it doesn't become pigul. That's not pigul. If I plan to eat it on Shavuos, then it's pigul. But if I plan to eat it too early, too soon, then it's not pigul. So here also, even if I plan to eat it too late, but it's after the zman of Kiyum Mitzvah Sachila, but it's not after the Zman of the Korban. The Zman of the Korban theoretically is Shnei Yamin, Shnei Leilo. So then it wouldn't be a Pigul. So similarly over here, that could possibly be the answer. Maybe even Kantor Rav Lazar ben Azariah, who holds that Chatzos is a Din D'Oraisa, maybe it's only a Din D'Oraisa, Ve'ochlos Habasa Balayla Hazeh, it's a Din in the Achila. The Achila has to be Balayla Hazeh, and you learn a Gzera Shova Balayla Hazeh from Makkos Becheres. That means you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Besar HaPesach before Chatzos. But to say that the Zman of the Korban is up when it comes Chatzos, maybe that's not correct. Maybe theoretically the Zman of Korban is really the whole day and the whole night, Erev Pesach and the night following, Yom V'Laila. Yom V'Laila Kol HaLaila. Even according to Rav Lazar ben Azariah. So therefore, even he would agree that it only turns into Noiser in the morning. Noiser Memeno Ad Boiker. Who doesn't become nicer after Chatzos? Could be that even our Blazim and Azari would agree if you leave it after Chatzos, you'll be over an Easter essay, like we said. Like eating it on Erev Pesach in the daytime, that there's only an Easter essay. So eating it after Chatzos will only be an Easter essay of eating the Korban Pesach, Betoros Kachim Kalim, Shalom Betoros Korban Pesach. It could be that it wouldn't have the lav with the chorus of Noisah. That's how that's the famous pshat. And with this, they explained the din that appears in the Tosefta. Tosefta is the only, you can never tell whether you have the right gears or not. So there's a in the Tzukamandl Tosefta, that's supposed to be the more accurate version of the Tosefta, there appears a braisa that sounds like it's speaking within Rav Lazar ben Azariah, who holds a Chatzos is a Din D'Oraisa. Nonetheless, he speaks about Moisa Pesach Korib Shlomim. Let's say you were Mafish a Korban Pesach and it got lost. You don't know where it is. They got a Mafish another Korban Pesach. You have no choice. So you eat your other Korban Pesach, and then the next day, Chalamoid, you find the missing Korban Pesach. It's around a few blocks away. It has a tag on it. I am a Korban Pesach. With the address. Sure. So what does he do? He can't save it till next year. The Korban Pesach has to be Zohar Ben Shona. Has to be within the first year. Once it's already after the first birthday, is no good. So it has to be within the first year. So if you have somebody whose tummy, you can save it for Pesach Sheni. Okay? If you don't have anybody's tummy, so what do you do with it? You wait till it gets a mum, and then you pay this. And then what are you going to do with the money? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara learns that from a Pesach in Parshas Re'eh, that's called Moisar Pesach. A leftover Korban Pesach. Moisar Pesach is Korib Shlomim. But the Maisa Pesach Korb Shlomim doesn't have the din of a normal Shlomim. Normal Shlomim is Nechel Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echod for 2 days, today, tonight, and tomorrow. And the Maisa Pesach Korb Shlomim has the same restrictions as the Zman of the Pesach. It can only be eaten Yom V'Layla. What do you mean Yom V'Layla? But the Korb Pesach is not Nechel Yom V'Layla. So the answer is no. the zman of a korban pesach really is yom v'layla. The zman of the korban, the zman of the mitzvah sachila is only b'layla, v'lo b'yom. So from that tosefta, it would appear that even according to, it sounds like it's speaking within Rav Lozer ben Azari, who holds that the zman of the achila min ha-Torah is up until chatzos, and after chatzos, you're not allowed to eat it. But still, he's also masking to this, that if you have a maisa pesach, a korban pesach that's left over, and the halacha learns that from the pasuk in Re'eh, that maisa pesach korev shlamim, that shlamim is nechal yoyim v'layla kol alayla. Min ha-Torah kol alayla. The chatzos day will only be mid the rabban, it won't be min ha-Torah. Why will it be that it's nechal kol ha-yoyim v'chol alayla? Because even of Lozman ben Azariah, who says the chatzos is a din d'oraisa, that's only a din d'oraisa in the mitzvah achilas korban pesach. But he's not eating a b'torah korban pesach, he's eating a b'torah shlamim. So why not have shnei yamim v'layla echad? No, because the zman of the korban pesach was only yom v'layla. There are two different zmanim. What is the zman? Every korban has a zman. Every korban has a malkam in his zman. Ein l'cho dov v'she'ein lo. How does it say? Ein l'cho dov v'she'ein lo. Ein l'cho adam v'she'ein lo. Malkam ein l'cho dov v'she'ein lo zman. Something like that? No. Sure. So every korban has a zman and a malkam. If you take a chutz l'zmano, it's nicer. If you take a chutz l'mkomo, it's yaitse. It becomes nifsal the yaitse. You cannot, even if you bring it back, you cannot eat it. So that's the issue over here. There may be two different zmanim. The zman of the korban, and there's that the cheft of the korban has a zman. If you save it chutz l'zmano, it will be turned into nicer. So it could be the zman is yom alayla, kol alayla. And then you have the zman of the mitzvah, sachila. The zman of the mitzvah, sachila. Kong to Rabbi Lazar, it's only chutzis. Then the Torah has a Hayru Asho and Pasuk Yudalot that does not apply Bizman Hazeh, that you have to keep your shoes. Then they would go marry, they would go visit each other's homes, and they would be merry all night. So the fellow who writes the review writes that this is not accurate because it says in the Bible. What do you mean? The Jews during the period in the Second Temple would violate a Pasuk in the Chumash? We all know you're not allowed to leave your house on Pesach night. The Pashto says that, like the Gemara says, that this is only a Hayru Asho, this is not a Din L'Dayre. There is a, certainly is a Din, you're permitted to leave your house. Today, after you finished Agoda, let's say, people go to visit by someone, they can't go home? Of course you go home. How come you violate the Din? So the answer is, it's not a Din, it was only a Hayru Asho. It was never a Din, it was never intended as a Din L'Dayre. Why should there have been such a Hayru Asho? That's the question. Why should it even be as a Hayru Asho? Al Yetish. That's the question. The pasuk called Beis, the Perikis Beis pasuk called Beis, where it says, "The Atem lo say to ish mitesach beis arbeik." I suggested that maybe it's based on the din of lino. Gemara learns that from a pasuk that whenever you bring a korban, the bala korban is called lino of Yerushalayim. He has to sleep overnight in Yerushalayim. The Minchas Chinuch quotes one of his Talmidim by name. The guy who tells you who he was. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Klei Amigdosh. The Rambam says you have to appoint a Kohen Gadol. But the Rambam says the Kohen Gadol has to have an apartment in Yerushalayim. So the yes, how does he know he has to live in Yerushalayim? Maybe he'll live somewhere else and he'll commute. Who says he has to dafke sleep in Yerushalayim? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes one of the Talmidim and said like this, that the halacha requires that the Kohen Gadol has to bring a Minchas Chavit in every single day of the year, and whoever brings any korban in the Beis HaMikdosh has to sleep over in Yerushalayim that night. Ton Lina. So he says, in Mela, the Rambam says, he has to have an apartment in Yerushalayim. In Mela, he can't leave Yerushalayim, because tomorrow morning he has to bring the Minchas Chavit, Machzitza Baboy, Machzitza Bein Abayim. So if he wants to, he can leave Yerushalayim tomorrow in the morning after he's finished, after Alot HaShachar, after he's fulfilled his mitzvah lina, before he brings the minchas chavit and shal baiker, he can leave Yerushalayim for a few minutes. But then, so of course the Rama, of course he has to live in Yerushalayim. That's what he suggests. I thought maybe the din of lina is not the miyuchod Yerushalayim. Maybe it's Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is the makam hakrovat hakarbon, the doyrus. That's where you bring all the karbonis. So maybe as a Hayru Asho, clearly this is not a din l'doras. Where did they do the zrikas adam? So the Torah says they did the zrikas adam. And you're not permitted. And it says you're not permitted to take the korban pesach from one home to the other. How does it say? So I thought maybe a chelik of that hoirah shah was that the bayis where they were zorik the dam was considered the makam hakrovas hakarbon. They did the shechita, they did the zrikas hadam. There was no haftoras anymore. They did the shechita and the zrikas hadam there. So maybe the halacha of lina required al yetziyish mitesach space abeker. That was the lina. Maybe that's the pshat. It's based on the regular din of lina, which applies l'doris, but l'doris it applies to all of the city of Yerushalayim, because that's called the mach makrov. And here the bayis in which each person brought his own personal korban. That was the lina. My father told me he once attended a lecture of a certain, also a professor of Jewish history, where he was describing the way it was that they used to bring the Korban Pesach years ago, that every family would get together in their village, and that each one would bring their own Korban Pesach. They would make their own bama, and each one would bring their own Korban Pesach. And my father mentioned to the professor that this is one of the dinim where there's no hetzer bama. Says the Beferish, L'suchu l'zbarchas ha-posach bi'achad she'arecha she'er she'amakechon otzen l'chol. Says the Beferish, that there's no hetzer bama on Korban Pesach. Even this man, hetzer bama is a Korban Tzibah has to be brought on the bama g'dayla. You can't say that every family got together and made a zevach mishpoch out of it, that everybody brought what they wanted. So the Beferish is posach in the chumash that you can't do that. Famous comment from the Rishon Rebbe, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ayo hadam lachem liyos al abatim. It says, his Yontif writes, in his commentary on Mishnah, I think it was tonight, that an Apikoros once asked him, how come the Orthodox Jews continue to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but the Navi himself said, Godli Yagvot Kvod HaBayis HaZeho Acharon, in our region, that this, the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara Bava Basra quoted that statement, on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, that this, the second Beis HaMikdash, is the last Beis HaMikdash. Gendik, that's it. Habayit HaZeh HaAchron. This is the last Beis HaMikdash, and no more. So what do we keep on praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tzitzis Yantzif answered that the word Achron in Biblical Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean last, it means latter. And he quoted two rites. The one rite was, when Yaakov was approaching Esau, so he divided all of the wives and the children into three groups. So it says he took the Shvachos, then he took with Leah of Yoladeha Achrenim, then it says with Rachel of Yoladeha, Shvachos of Yosef, Shvachos of Yosef Achrenim. So if it already says Leah of Yoladeha Achrenim, Leah, is that going to say Rachel of Yosef Achrenim? So you see, that's where Rashi comments, Achren Achren Chav. So you see from that passage that the word Achronim doesn't mean last, it means afterwards. And similarly it says in the beginning of Chumash Mos that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go to Paro, so he was told two also. So it says, V'mlo Yishmul L'kol Ha'os HaRishon V'heminu L'kol Ha'os Acharon. Then it says, V'mlo Yishmul Gam L'kol Ha'os HaZeh, then you should take V'lachachta Mimei Mehayor V'shafachta Hayavosho, and you should turn the water into dam. What do you mean? It says, "Lo yishmu l'kol ha'os harishon, aminu l'kol ha'os ha'acharon." They listen, they'll believe the second of, the last, kol ha'os ha'acharon. And then it says, "Lo yishmu." To that, then it just says that's the kol ha'os ha'acharon. That's the last of. So you see again that the word acharon doesn't mean last; it means the latter of. So that's what the Rishon has said on the second pasuk. That, "Ba'oyu hadam lochem la'os alabatim." That the dam, the makas dam, was an ois on the batim mikdashim. That was his word. Oyadam the dam that Moshe Rabbeinu after the Le'aminu kolos harish aminu kolos ha'acharon. Then it says Le'aminu gam neshnei hoyis yisrael le'melakach mimei mahirav shafach de'abosha. It should turn into dam. So the makas dam, the way it says over there, acharon. And then there's another os after the os acharon. So that's the simin li'os ala batim. That's going to be the os on the batim mikdash. That was the vertel that the original Rebbe said. So the pasuk is merame is the hechach of the Tzitzis Yantzif. On the Nebuah. It's a famous word, you should know. The Rabbi Shalom tells Bnei Yisrael that he's taking them out b'chodesh ha'aviv, and they should see to it that the future generations, when they celebrate Pesach, it should always be b'chodesh ha'aviv. This is a concern because our calendar, the Jewish calendar, is a lunar calendar. Lunar calendar, every month is either 29 or 30 days when you see the Molad HaLevana, and it's 11 days shorter than the solar year. So in 2 years you're going to be 22 days earlier. In 3 years you're going to be 33 days earlier. And then it's going to come out that Pesach is going to be in the winter time. It won't be in the spring, it'll be in the winter, then Pesach will be in the fall, then Pesach will be in the summer. Every couple of years, it'll keep on moving. Every year is 11 days earlier. So it's going to keep on floating around. So that's why we have an institution of the Ibur HaShana, that every couple of years we add on another month to offset that issue. So that's a big, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik has in his Sefer, and Rav Soloveitchik said over the same shiur also here, when we learned Sanhedrin, the first Pesach, there's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, how to understand the nature of this din. Why? What does it mean that you do Ibur HaShana in order to see to it that Pesach falls out at the right season of the year? That Pesach should be B'chodesh Aviv. Hayom Atami Yatsim B'chodesh Aviv, and see to it that every year Pesach should be, to the best of your ability, B'chodesh Aviv. What does that mean? So the Rambam understands the nature of the din as follows. Not that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. That's not true. The Jewish month is a lunar month, and the Jewish year is a solar year. That's how the Rambam writes. The month has to be a lunar year, a lunar month, depending on Moelad Halvana. But the years are supposed to be solar years, according to the seasons of the year. So Mamela, when you do Ibur HaShana, in order to see to it that Pesach falls out for Chodesh Aviv, this is not some extraneous concern. Like the Gemara has, you can do Ibur HaShana based on external concerns. The Beis Magadol gets a report that there are thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of the Jews coming from Russia to participate, coming from America to participate in Korban Pesach, and there's an airline strike, or there are heavy snows on the highways, and they're going to be delayed, and they're going to miss the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, if they know in advance, they can't make Ibur HaShana after Chodesh Nisan already entered. But if it's still before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they can declare, we're making Shanazu Tehimu Beres, we're going to make an Adar Sheni, to give everybody an extra break, an extra 30 days, in order to, 29 days, another 29 days to be able to come on time to bring Korban Pesach. I think Gemara has a whole discussion. The Nasi died, the Rosh HaSanhedrin died, and everybody participated in the funeral, so everybody became Tomei. And everybody who becomes Tomei Meis has to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi. And they want to be Mitair everybody to eat the Korban Pesach B'Tahara as opposed to eating the Tumah. One opinion is Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibah Heter Gomer. That's called Ibur HaShana Shalol Tzarech Klal. There was no need for that. And the other Tana holds no, the Tumah is only Duchuya B'Tzibah, it's not Hutra. So that is Ashtikal HaTzarech. So the Gemara talks about such a Tzarech on the first parak from Sanhedrin. Different opinions in the Tanakh. So the Gemara has, you can be Ma'aber Es HaShana L'Tzarech if you have a real economical reason, you have a religious reason, you have a reason why you want to be Ma'aber Es HaShana. So that's legitimate. That's a totally extraneous reason. We want everybody to be Tohar. We don't want the people to be heartbroken. They're traveling so far, we don't want them to miss the Korban Pesach after putting in such a Mesiras Nefesh, so we're going to postpone Yontif so that they'll all come in time. So the Rambam's opinion is that's one valid form of declaring Ibur HaShana based on some extraneous tzorach, and I have to have a tzorach gadol. So the Gemara says, but if you only have a tzorach katan, then you cannot be ma'aber Es HaShana on a tzorach katan unless you have two tzorachim ktanim. So two tzorachim ktanim add up to be considered as if you had one tzorach gadol. The Gemara says, al shnai ma'aber malach haseim yam. If you only have one tzibo kol dehu, you're not ma'aber Es HaShana. You have two tzibos, you can. Like we have a din in Ebenezer. When you identify when a woman is married and the husband is missing, and you want to identify the dead body in order to allow the almanis, in order to allow the agunis to remarry, so how do you identify the body? If he has two noses on his face, and he has three ears, and he has extra teeth, and so obviously there are no two people like that in the world. He's the only one. But what if it's not such a sin movie? They don't have such a sin movie. So you say he's short and fat. No, half the people are on the short and fat, half the people are tall and thin. So that's a simen garua. That's nothing. What if you have a simen emtsoi, a simen beinani? So we pass in a simen emtsoi, simen beinani is not good. But if the Beis Shmuel says if you have two simonim beinaniim, they add up together, they combine together to constitute a simen movie. So then you can identify. So similar to the din over there, if you have two simonim emtsoiim, they mitzarfim to be considered like a simen movie. See here also, if you have two tzarachim tanim, you mitzarf them together, and it's considered like a tzarach gadol, and you can be ma'abed shana. So the Rambam's opinion in the Gemara is there's a question how to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Rosh Hashanah. So the Rambam's opinion in the Gemara is that that's only when you ma'abel l'tzorach, you have to have a tzorach gadol as opposed to a tzorach katan. Two tzorachim tanim combined together to be considered the equivalent of a tzorach gadol. But if you ma'abel l'shana, because it's, everything is off kilter, the seasons are off kilter, that's not an extraneous tzorach. That's what Ibar Hashanah is all about. So you want the month should be lunar month, but the year should be a solar year. So if the seasons are off kilter, you don't have to have that Vitzirik with another reason. No, that's it. You want the Shana to be a Shnat Achama. The Chadashim Achot Shehalvana and the Shana is a Shnat Achama. That's how the Rambam starts off, Hilchot Kiddush Achaydush. He says, that's the definition. So that's not a Zaitik itself. That's intrinsic. That's essential. And the other Rishonim hold not so. The other Rishonim hold that that's not by definition that the Jewish year is a solar year. No. The months are lunar months, and the middle of the years are lunar years. It's a Zaitik Yitzorach, just like it's going to be heartbreaking if these people are going to miss. They traveled so far, and now they're going to be delayed because of the heavy snows, and they're going to miss the Korban Pesach. So because of some extraneous heartbreaking matter, the Bezdin has the right to postpone Pesach for another month to make Ibar Hashanah. So this is also an extraneous concern. We want to celebrate Pesach, the proper season of the year. So we would like Pesach to be B'chodesh Avi. So that's the other Rishonim hold that that's an extraneous concern. Not like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that this is by definition. The year is supposed to be a solar year. That corresponds to the seasons. The other Rishonim hold down, there's no such din in the Luach. That's a din in the fulfillment of Yom Tov Pesach. You want to do the mitzvah B'shleimus, so try to see to it that Pesach is going to be B'chodesh Avi. So according to the other Rishonim, everything is on this. Ibar Hashanah is always only L'tzorach. Everything is always just based on Zaitiget Tzarachim, extraneous Tzarachim. Nothing is really intrinsic in the year itself. That's what Rabbah Soloveitchik explained, that's what Rabbah Soloveitchik also said. The Rambam is Lishitasai, and the other Rishonim are Lishitasam. The Rambam claims that Bizman Shein, Ein Sham Sanhedrin, that how do you have a Luach? How do you have Rosh Chodesh? How do you have Ibar Hashanah? So the Rambam says that there's a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina that it becomes a Shana Muberes automatically. The Ramban says that it's not so, that the Hilal Hasheni was Mekadosh Ol Chadoshim and Ma'abar Ol Nishonim in advance until Bias Mashiach Tukenu, according to a whole system. But the Rambam Shita, that the Ibar Hashanah happens automatically, is only Nitan Vahiyomer Lishita, so that he understands that there are two dinim in Ibar Hashanah. There's one din if you have extraneous Tzarachim. Extraneous Tzarachim, that can't happen by itself. What are you going to say? If there's some external Tzarach, Ibar Hashanah happens automatically. Why should it happen automatically? That doesn't happen. But the other din that the Rambam holds, that Ibar Hashanah is for the purpose of having a solar year. We want to have a lunar month in our calendar system. We want to have a solar year. So the solar year, if it's sufficiently off kilter, so the Rambam's opinion is that that's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that the Ibar Hashanah will happen automatically in order that the year should become a solar year. The Ramban holds that it's not so. The Ramban holds that it's even Ibar Hashanah, so that Pesach falls out in Chodesh Aviv, is also an extraneous concern. You want to celebrate Pesach B'Shleimus, you want to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Pesach B'Shleimus, but it's not a din in the Luach that the Shana has to be a Shnas Acham. There is no such din. That's why the Ramban, Lishitasa, holds that there cannot be. Ramban says he never heard of such a secret, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina, never mentioned anyway in the Gemara. It couldn't be that the Rambam is the only genius in the world, he's the only one who knows the secret. So the Rambam quotes it from the Goyim. The Ramban was not aware of such a tradition. Ramban says it does make any sense. How can it happen by itself automatically? Why not? Because according to the Ramban, all of Ibar Hashanah is only done for extraneous Tzarach in order to celebrate Pesach properly. That's a Zaitik Tzarach. It's not intrinsic into the Luach itself. So according to the Ramban, you can't say that the Luach sets itself up automatically. Why should the Luach set itself up automatically? How does the Luach know if it's going to be a snowstorm? How does the Luach know? It doesn't make any sense. It's also the Pesach should be B'chodesh Av is also an extraneous tzorach to the Luach, from the viewpoint of the Luach. That you want to celebrate Pesach properly. What has got to do with the calendar? That's what the Ramban says, that Hilal Sheni declared all of these in advance.
Doesn't the Rambam agree that Shani was Mekadosh Chodesh?
No. The Rambam says that Hilal Sheni just saw that the system of PRE is going to collapse, and now everything happens automatically. The Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibar Hashanah happens automatically.
According to Ramban?
And Ramban Hilul Hasheni was Mekadosh all the Chadashim in advance.
Chadashim also?
Yeah.
The Lechuyam, the Chadashim are intrinsic to Tum.
Yeah, but still.
So it's not happening, it should happen in the Astra.
No, yeah, the Ramban said, no, the Ramban holds that he never heard of such a thing. That there's such a halacha motion seen of Alpiyah Cheshman, that things should happen by themselves. But because the Rabbi Avraham Lasovich just added on that according to the Ramban, it can't be. According to Ramban, it can't be. Because the Ibra Shon is a Zaytik itself. According to most of the Rishonim, it's definitely Rambam. He cannot possibly conceive of such a thing that Ibra Shon should happen automatically. Kiddush HaKadosh could have been, just as he never heard of such a halacha Moshe Messina.
You don't say like the Ramban, what's the significance of 12 lunar months? Why does that make a lunar year? 12.
Why should it be 12? That's the halacha, that a year has either 12 or 13 months.
It's just a coincidence that it's 11 days off.
Yeah. Torah commands regarding the matzah, shmartem et ha-matzah. If you have to make shmura matzah, it means you have to have asiyah l'shma. That's how the Gemara seems to say. You must have asiyah l'shma on the matzah. That's in Perek Yud-Beis, Pasuk Yud-Zayin. Shmartem et ha-matzah. Because we require asiyah l'shma, that's why a goy cannot bake the matzah. Whoever is any b'tayrus cannot create l'shma. If the din would have been that women would have been potter from eating matzah, because it says man grama that women would not be able to bake matzahs either, because whoever is any b'tayrus cannot create the shmah. It didn't happen. That's how the Rishonim said it didn't happen to be that women are chayiv and achilas matzah, so therefore they are able to create the shmah. That's why women can also bake matzah the shmah. The very first Mishnah in Zvachim says if you shech the korban shalom l'shma, it's kosher. It's just that the bailam are not yet to yedechavotim, but the korban is kosher. You may be zorked the dam on the mizbech, you're permitted to eat it, with the two exceptions to the rule of chatos and pesach. Chusman achatos ha-pesach, but if you shech the shalom l'shma, it's not good. But then the Gemara is quick to explain chatos shalom l'shma means you shech the chatos l'shem shlomim, or l'shem oyla. What if you shech the chatos l'shem chulin? But then the Gemara says it does not pass. The only time it possible is mina machribo. Shaloi be mina ain't a machribo. If there's a competition between all the korbanim, korban chatos is not a korban shlomim, which is not a korban oila, which is not a korban whatever, maitha behemoth, whatever. Each one is a different korban. So if you shech the chatos l'shem oila, or l'shem shlomim, or l'shem taida, so that's in competition with each other. Mina, if it's another korban, Machribo, that will possible, but if you shech the chatos l'shem chulin, that will not possible. That's how the Gemara says. The Rambam writes the chiddush, and he doesn't give. We don't know what the makor is. The Rambam writes that if you shech the korban pesach even l'shem chulin, it does possible because of the pasuk in today's sedra. Amartem zevach pesach chul Hashem. The Gemara in the beginning of Zohar learns that Amartem zevach pesach chul Hashem, that the pesach has to be l'shma. And if you shech the shalom l'shma, it's possible. But the Gemara never said that Pesach shalom l'shma is machab and achatos shalom l'shma. That doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. So that's the question that all of the Nesi can make. Where in the world did the Rambam dig this one up from? So the answer is, again, that's one of the Mechilta of the Rashbi. It's a Beferish Mechilta of the Rashbi. It says like that. That Pesach shalom l'shma is machab and achatos shalom l'shma. That even if you shech it at the Shem Kulin, it'll also possible. One of the many dinim of the Korban Pesach is called Ben Echa Lo Yochel Bo. What does it mean, called Ben Echa? Mishin is Nakra Maisav Lovim Shabashamayim. It refers to a person who's an Oibid Avid Izor. Called Ben Echa is a Jew who's an Oibid Avid Izor, that is not permitted to participate in Korban Pesach. What if you have a Jew who's not an Oibid Avid Izor, but is Machal Shabbos Befehesia, that is Dino Oibid Avid Izor? Would the din apply or not? So the Chafetz Chaim writes in one place in his Svarim on Kotshim, in the Zevach Toido, he's Mesupik about that.
Now, Moshe Soloveitchik thought that it was not a correct stuff. He thought that it should not apply to Machal Shabbos Brescia, should only apply to Oved Avodah Zarah, and he gave a few hachachas from Gemara to show that point. That Oved Avodah Zarah has a special status in regard to being pasul of karbanah. One of the dinim of tefillin, the end of the sefer, we have the two kaddish reikiriyach. One of the dinim of tefillin that someone asked that we should discuss was the Gemara has halacha that you're not permitted to remove the tefillin in the presence of the Rebbe. That's considered a bizayin harav. What's a bizayin harav? That you uncover your head in presence of the Rebbe. Gili rush. So others explain it differently, that there is a Gemara that in Kiddushin that says at the end of the first parakom halacha sheved, but also the rabbi. Talmud also the rabbi, that a Talmud is obligated to service the Rebbe to the same extent as an Eved Knaini. So the Gemara asks the question, the same extent as an Eved Knaini? So the people may think that I'm an Eved Knaini. So you're not allowed to bring chashad upon yourself, that to cause people to think that you have a psul and yichus, that you're an Eved Knaini. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. If he's wearing tefillin, everybody knows that he's not an Eved Knaini, because they never allowed Avodim to wear tefillin. And the Tosafos writes in Gittin on Daf Mem, that even though an Isha can fulfill Mr. Tessa Shazban Gramasei Brochan and an Eved also can say Kedushan and Tessa Utsuan, but tefillin not. They never allowed the Eved Knaini to wear tefillin. And the Gemara says if Eved Shehinicho Rabo Lahaniach Tefillin, if his Adon gave him a pair of tefillin to wear, then the Eved can claim that as a proof that the Adon was Meshachar him. Because the practice was the Zman HaTalmud that they never allowed Avadim to wear tefillin. That's how Taisus points out. So the Gemara says there in Kiddushin that if the Talmud is wearing tefillin, then he's even permitted to serve the Rebbe to the full extent, mamish like an Eved Knaini, to carry his clothing after him to the Beis HaMerchas like an Eved Knaini. If the Talmud is not wearing tefillin, then he's only permitted to do services for the Rebbe that are more covenant, that will not lead to a chashad that people will think that he's an Eved Knaini. But that's why it says in the Gemara, that's why it says in the other Gemara, that if the Talmud removes the tefillin from himself in the presence of the Rebbe, so he's demonstrating that he's no longer in a capacity to do all of the services that it's possible to do for the Rebbe. So that's a bizayin and quote around, that he should remove the tefillin. And that's how one of the Gedolim commented, the one who wrote the Seder Hadoyres, the history book, Michiel Halpern. He's the contemporary of the Shangtan. So he suggests, every so often he has a historical interpretation on a Gemara. He only has history, he doesn't have a lot. So in the Seder Hadoyres he gives an interpretation. There's a Gemara at the end of Perek HaMafkid, towards the end of Perek HaMafkid, where there's a Mishnah, a steer between the Reisha and the Seif and the Mishnah, and the Gemara says the Reisha goes like one Tana and the Seif goes like another Tana. There's no way to find him for the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan made a comment, Man the Metag Mechobis, the Mishnah is about a Chobis, a barrel of wine. Man the Metag Mechobis, Ali, but the Chatana, whoever will succeed in interpreting the Mishnah, there's no steer between the Reish and the Seif, it fits in according to the opinion of one Tana. I personally will be so indebted to him, Vilna Mani Basri Lebe Masusa. I will carry his clothing after him to the Beit HaMerchat. What do you mean? I will demonstrate that I am his Talmud. I'll be so indebted to him, I'll carry his clothing. So the Seder Hadoyres points out there's a famous comment in Yerushalmi that the Beis Yosef quotes in the Hilchos Tefillin, that Rabbi Yochanan rarely wore tefillin. He was a very sensitive, he was a very sick guy. So in the summertime, he would get a heat stroke if he wore a hat all the time. If he would take off the hat, he would get sick. In the wintertime, it was so cold, he wouldn't be able to take off the hat, he would get sick. And if he's going to get headaches or something, so he never wore a shalrosh. Shalal bat shal, yeah, did he wear or not? But he never wore a tefillin shalrosh, for sure. A few days a year, in the springtime and in the fall, a couple of days, but then when he wouldn't get sick. So that's what the Seder Hadoyres says. Rabbi Yochanan is speaking. Rabbi Yochanan never wore tefillin all year long. And a Talmud that doesn't wear tefillin is not permitted to serve at the Rebbe like an Eved Knaini, to carry the kelim to the Beis HaMerchat. So he says, nonetheless, he says, I will be so indebted to whoever will be the Yashar, the steer in the Mishnah, I will violate the din. I'll act like a Talmud should act, even though there will be a chashad that I'm an Eved. I don't care. I'll be so happy to hear a teret on this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan died a long time ago, so there were some Hasidic rebbes who thought that this promise that Rabbi Yochanan said applies to Zman HaZatu,
So they wanted to make a Tchiyas HaMeisim. So they said they tried to farem for the steer in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yechanan promised he's going to carry the case. So they thought if they'll farem for the steer in the Mishnah, they'll bring Rabbi Yechanan back from the dead. They'll be able to do, maybe. I don't know. They never succeeded in faremfering the steer.